Let's bow our heads, please, for a moment of prayer. Our dear beloved Father in heaven, we once again thank Thee for the opportunity we've had to come to this Thy house and worship Thee. We thank Thee for the song service. We thank Thee for the, on this Memorial Day weekend, for the patriotic hymns that we sang and the other hymns that we sang. And we ask that Thy continued blessings might be with us as we sing hymns that they may honor and glorify Thee. And for the prayers which have been offered both silently and audibly, we thank Thee. Now we thank Thee for the preaching and hearing of Thy Word. We thank Thee that we have Thy Word and we have the opportunity to come together as a body of believers, a church family, to worship Thee. And we pray that Thy Spirit might be with us as we enter into the preaching and hearing of Thy Word, that in this we may also worship in spirit and in truth. Bless Thy servant to preach and Thy people to hear and understand, we pray. And bless it all, above all, to Thy praise and glory, and then to the good and edification of Thy people. Help us to remember those things we hear this morning and use them in our lives to honor and glorify Thee. Bless, we pray, those who ask an interest in prayer and all for whom we should pray. And all of this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, and amen. I invite your attention this morning to the book of John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 7 and verses 37 through 39. Again, the Gospel according to John, chapter 7 and verses 37 through 39. And these verses read, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." And I trust the Lord will bless us as we consider this passage of Scripture. I've enjoyed trying to study this, and I guess the more I study something, and the more I feel something, the more I feel blessed to see some of the truths that are contained in a passage of Scripture or on a particular subject, then the less I feel prepared. Now, that's an amazing thing. But I think of this and I feel so weak in trying to preach this. But you pray that the Lord will bless me to preach and you to hear, and the Lord will be honored and glorified in it. All right. So Jesus cried out something to the people. Now, the context of any lesson, I believe, is important. Every passage of Scripture, every verse of Scripture is enhanced in one way or another by the context of which it's in. And so the context, what I want to consider here for just a few moments is, when did this occur? Jesus spoke in this last great day of the feast, and that is, when did this occur? Well, it was the last day of the feast, as I read, I think, in the first verse that I read. And it was a feast that lasted for 8 days. And it was called the Feast of Tabernacles. It was a Feast of Tabernacles that lasted for 8 days. It was one of the Jewish feasts. And I believe that, brothers and sisters, it doesn't say in so many words, but I believe that Jesus, being a Jew and being under the law and keeping the law, kept this feast and many others did in that particular way. And then it was called a holy convocation. Now, I'm sure if you're like me, you don't use that word every day, maybe just every other day. That is the word convocation. But this was a holy convocation. Now, this found, that is the Feast of Tabernacles, the commandments of this were found in Leviticus chapter 23. And there are several verses that I want to read there. Again, it's the book of Leviticus chapter 23. And I'll read you these words in just a moment. All right, in Leviticus 23, and the first one I want to read is found in, well, verses 34 and 35. Leviticus 23 and verses 34 and 35. And these two verses read, speak, and I'll back up to the previous verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. They could do some things, but they couldn't gather fruit or crops. They couldn't prune vineyards. They couldn't do regular work like that. They couldn't cut the grass, if you will. And they would do no servile work. He goes on, and so that's the lesson there. Alright, it was a holy convocation. And the word convocation is a word that means a calling out. A convocation is a calling out. And this Feast of Tabernacles was a time of calling out, along with other things we're going to see in just a moment that happened on that, in that same seventh month of the Jewish calendar. Alright? Now, but this holy, this convocation was a calling out. And that is the Jews from all over, well, the Israelites, from all of the land, whether regardless of which side of Jordan they may have been on and how far it may have been, they were to come to Jerusalem for these times of the year. There were three times in the year they were supposed to come to Jerusalem, and this is one of those times. And that holy convocation was a calling out, calling the Israelites to come at Jerusalem during this time of the year. All right. There was much worship done there. Look at verses 36 through 38. Again, in Leviticus chapter 23. 36 through 38. And these verses read, 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. I think that means an offering each day. All right. On the eighth day shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. And then in verse 37, these are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, and a meat offering, a sacrifice, and drink offerings, everything upon his day, beside the Sabbath of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings which ye give unto the Lord. So in this particular feast, that is the Feast of the Tabernacles, which was an 8-day affair, then there was much worship done, many sacrifices and freewill offerings, and etc., etc. By now, this was also a special month of offering. If you will, look at verse 24, Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 24. And this verse of Scripture reads, it says, and speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, same month again, in the first day of the month, ye shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Now, notice what he says, this would be a Sabbath on the first day of the month. That can happen on any day of the week. It wouldn't necessarily be on the seventh day Sabbath, but if it was on the first day of the week, or through the sixth day, or through the seventh day of the week, regardless of what day of the week it was a Sabbath. It was a special Sabbath. And so that, and Brother George Daniel called them a number of years ago, it was a high Sabbath. It wasn't the regular seventh day Sabbath. So it could have fallen on that day, but it was a special Sabbath, regardless of what day of the week it was. And so there was that Sabbath. And then look, if you will, at verse 27, Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 27. And this reads, also on the 10th day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And so this seventh month was a very special month. They had a special Sabbath The first day of the month, on the 10th day of the month, they had the Day of Atonement. And starting the 15th day of the month, then they had the Feast of Tabernacles. So it was a very special month. Now, one thing I want to point out is, since this was an 8-day feast, they had plenty to eat and to drink because it was a feast. Now, that's the background. On that day, Jesus cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Jesus cried this. Now, I want to say he was not weeping or shedding tears. When we think of crying, then we think of weeping or shedding tears. As I thought about this, every once in a while I think about, well, in years past when they didn't have media as we have media today, there were town criers. And town criers would holler out or yell out, cry out, to use the term in that day, a message of the king or whatever message needed to be given. Those were town criers. They called out messages. And so it was not weeping or shedding of tears. Jesus called aloud. And he called aloud this. He said, "If any man first." They had, now think about this. I remind you again, they had all they wanted to satisfy their natural thirst. And yet Jesus was speaking of a different kind of thirst. And it was a thirst satisfied by only one thing, and that one thing that could satisfy them was Jesus. Now, as I began to write this and study for this, I thought you might think it strange that I would speak of Jesus as a thing. But in either Luke chapter 1 and verse 35 or chapter 2, somewhere in that says, speaking of Jesus, it says, "Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And so there is in the Scriptures Jesus called a thing. And Jesus is the one thing, one person, or whatever better word you may feel belongs there. Jesus is that one thing that can satisfy this particular kind of thirst. I want to tell you, there are many different things I enjoy in life. I love nature. I always had a love of nature. And I love to take pictures of the beauty of nature. If you've seen my page on Facebook or whatever it is, then there is an exotic flower that's on that. And this exotic flower, and whether you know it or not, was the picture of this exotic flower was right here in Upson County, in Sproul Bluff. It is a red buckeye flower. It's a cluster of red buckeye flowers. And that's what's on my Facebook page. Now, and so I love that. That's the kind of things I've always loved doing. I loved it so much, and I had this camera in black and white, and there was a bird, small songbird, way up in the top of the pecan tree, and I took a picture of that, and they're wide-angle lenses, and so you can imagine what it looked like. You could hardly tell there was a bird there. I was ashamed of it. I didn't want anybody to see that picture. But I'm a little better than that. I'm not great. But the beauty of it is that When I can see that's something that God put there, then that makes it different. I can enjoy that flower so much better. A dear friend of mine, dear brother, who's a member at Cedar Creek, and he and I would, every once in a while, we'd go out and we'd go in the woods, walk in the woods, and we'd take pictures together. We may take pictures of ferns. They're pretty ones, by the way. We might take some pictures of mushrooms. There's some that have mighty pretty colors or different flowers. And we took pictures of a number of things. But every once in a while, there'd be this beautiful sunrise or this beautiful sunset. And he would say this, "God painted a beautiful picture." You see, anyone can enjoy a beautiful sunrise or sunset. But when we can look at it with the idea, God painted a beautiful picture. And the Lord blessed, the Lord put that sunset there for me and others to enjoy. And to realize that that's something that God did for me. And so it's a whole lot better when I consider it that way than just simply looking at the colors of that. But there's one verse that I have. I enjoy doing a number of other things, but there's one thirst that I have that only Jesus can satisfy. And when I think of when I think of the blessings of Jesus, when I'm walking through the woods or doing whatever else I'm doing, then the other things are better. And thank the Lord for that. Alright, Jesus said, first of all, he says, if any man thirst. So there's a spiritual thirst we have. And then he says, he that believeth on me, out of us, that is, if we believe on Jesus as we should, out of us shall flow rivers of living water. That is, there will be an abundance of water to satisfy us. Think about that. There's not only a lot of water within us, but he said it would be like we're filled with water, and we're so full of water that it's like it's overflowing out of us. As I thought about that, now I can't tell you a great deal about that. My thoughts about that are very limited, but I think about a river. I think about a pastor that I had in Atlanta years ago, and he was a study of nature. And as Solomon was, by the way, and much of that is written in the scriptures, and I won't go into that. But he said this about a stream, that if a certain amount of pollution is put in the stream, that eventually the stream will heal itself. That is, all that pollution will be washed away if more was not added to that. And so that's the idea, that if we're rejoicing in Jesus as we should, if we're drinking of the blessing of Jesus Christ the Lord, then those that have a tendency to wash away the ungodly, the worldly things. And when I say worldly, I'm not necessarily talking about gross ungodliness. I'm talking about the things of the world or the cares of this world that hinder us in our thoughts of Jesus Christ. But if our thoughts are on Jesus as they should, then it has a tendency to wash those things away from us. And this will be a blessing to us and to others also who have a spiritual thirst. As I'm studying a bit, I thought about a brother, can't think of his name now, but he was from Emanuel County. And he told me one time that he and some of his family had gone to work, they were going home from work, stopped at a trash dump, there was a black man there. And one of them said something about the Lord. I don't know which one did. Brother Emmett Roundtree was his name. One of them said something about the Lord. He said, and something got started. You see, one of them said something about the Lord, and the other one said something about how the Lord had blessed him, and they were able to rejoice one with another about the blessings in the lives of each other. Brother Emmett, when he told him about how God had blessed him, Brother Emmett rejoiced, and the black man rejoiced. And then when the black man told Brother Emmett about the way that God had blessed him, the black man rejoiced, and Brother Emmett rejoiced, and the blessings on him. And so, my brothers and sisters, that's the way it is when we're rejoicing in Jesus Christ the Lord. And we love so much, we love Jesus so much, that we just simply can't bother him within us. And thank the Lord for that. Now, and thank the Lord for that. That is, we want to tell others about Jesus. And that makes our hearts rejoice. You know, God blessed us with something, and we're happy about that. We want to tell others about it. And then at the same time, think about how happy it makes us rejoice when we tell others the good things that Jesus Christ has done for us. They that believe in, and Jesus went on to say that they that believe in Jesus will receive the Holy Ghost. Now, this is not speaking of a new birth, but this refers to the blessings of the Spirit. Look, if you will, turn over a few pages if you're in John now. John chapter 15 and verse 26. Again, it's the Gospel according to John chapter 15 and verse 26. And Jesus, by the way, was speaking to his apostles. That's important to know this. Those who've been sent out to preach the Word of God and have preached the Word of God. Those who've heard his words and were faithful to him. And he spoke to them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. You see, the Holy Spirit had not yet come. And that's what, by the way, that's in our text in John chapter 7. All right. Again, Jesus was speaking to his apostles. They were they had already been faithful in serving Him, so they were already born again. Their faithful service and their believing in Jesus did not cause them to be born again, but that was the evidence that they had been born of the Spirit of God. And they, those who had been born of the Spirit of God, those who had been faithful to Jesus Christ as He walked among men, they would be blessed by the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said, well, in this passage of Scripture, we have an expression there in verse 39, parenthetical expression, that says that the Spirit was not yet given. And the reason the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus had not been glorified. And it was glorified, He refers to His death, His burial, His resurrection, and His ascension back unto the Father. Now, so then, after that, sometime after that, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God came down and blessed a great number of people there. And there were a couple or 3,000, I can't remember the exact name, added to the church that particular day. The Spirit of God had blessed them. But before then, but now, you see, Jesus had completed His work, and the Spirit of God could testify of the completed work of Jesus Christ. And listen, brothers and sisters, that's the joy of our lives, to know that Jesus has completed His work in redeeming us from our sins, rising from the dead, and that He's gone to be with the Father. He sits at the right hand of the throne of God the Father to intercede for us as we live here in this world, and that He's coming again. That's a blessing to our lives. That's a joy to our lives, to know all these things that Jesus has, does, and will do for us. Now, satisfaction, brothers and sisters, for thirst. Satisfaction of thirst is a promised blessing. I want to read to you a beautiful verse of Scripture in Isaiah 41 and verse 17. Isaiah 41 and verse 17. And this reads, "When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them." Now, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's beautiful to me, that when we, His people, we're poor and needy, and we're thirsty, and there's no water to drink, then and we cry out to the Lord, then the Lord will hear us, and the Lord will grant us the request. The Lord will give us this spiritual water. The Lord will satisfy our natural thirst. And as long as we believe in Jesus Christ, we will not be thirsty. When our thoughts are on Jesus Christ, we will not be thirsty. That satisfies our thirst, and we have a source of water within us flowing out of us. And thank the Lord for the beauty of that. Now, to whom is this for? Over in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 17. Now, who is this for? It says, this is for the poor and needy. Now, that could have been King David that had plenty of riches. It could have been like King Solomon, who had all the riches on the face of the earth. But when it came to this kind of thirst, Solomon could have been poor and needy, just as somebody who was, to use the common expression, poor as Job's turkey. Anyone like that. Anyone could be poor and needy. Now, are we poor and needy? As I thought about this, I thought about the Sermon on the Mount. The first word of Jesus, the first beatitude, and first word, first teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. And He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That's the satisfaction of that spiritual thirst. Because the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God, is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so, if we are poor and needy, then here's the promise for us. When we find no water, like us being in the wilderness. Israel, in times past, was in the wilderness, and at least, well, three times. One time, God turned bitter water into sweet. A second time, God brought water out of the rock. And then the third time, God brought water out of the rock again. God did that. Now, if we can look back in those days and see how God blessed natural Israel with natural water, God will bless us as spiritual Israel with the spiritual water that we need. Now, we find no water. If we cry out to the Lord will hear us. And when we cry out for water, now what is that water? That water is the Spirit, as we find here in John chapter 7, verse 39. That is, they will not be forsaken, and the Lord will bless by the Spirit. And remember, the Spirit will testify of Jesus. So the very thoughts of Jesus will satisfy the thirst that we have. Now, let me give you an example of one who was thirsty and had his thirst satisfied. It's found in Luke chapter 23 and verses 39 through 43. Again, Luke 23 and verses 39 through 43. All right, these verses of Scripture read, "And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying," that is, he belittled him, criticized him, ridiculed him, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the others answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now you see, brothers and sisters, here, this man was a thirsty man. This man was like in the wilderness, to use a comparison there. This man had no concept whatsoever, no thought that his sorrow would be overcome. But he knew he was a thief. He knew he was worthy of death because he was a criminal. Now, we don't know if he had any idea of any afterlife, whether the good or the bad, and he may have thought that there was nothing beyond this natural life. We don't know. The Scriptures don't say that. But he cried out to Jesus, and Jesus comforted his soul. This man was no longer thirsty. This man found joy even in his horrible solution. I'll remind you again, crucifixion. This man was crucified when Jesus was. This man was crucified, and crucifixion was the most agonizing form of capital punishment ever known to man. This man was in a horrible situation, and yet he was blessed to find joy because Jesus gave him something to satisfy his tremendous thirst. Now, one other thing, just a few other thoughts, and that is, first of all, the Lord has not changed. I love the verse of Scripture. I've used it a number of times, but it fits in so many. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Beautiful verse of Scripture. Know that He doesn't change. And He gives the Spirit today as He has always given the Spirit. He gives to those who thirst and to those who are not satisfied with this world. Now, let me go back to the Feast of Tabernacles. This was when Jesus cried out these words. And one of the things that kept coming to my mind over and over, that is, there was worship there, offerings and sacrifices, all kinds of sacrifices and offerings, and yet at the same time, there was something lacking there. And I think one of the things, what's not said in so many words, but I believe one of the things Jesus meant which was under consideration was that, listen, if you're not satisfied with this worship, if it hasn't satisfied your thirst, then come to me. I have something better for you. And that's what we find in this situation. But now, for those not satisfied with this world. Those, by the way, those ordinances and so forth are carnal, even in the Scriptures. And so he said, those who are not satisfied. Those who are not satisfied with the things of this world. But Jesus gives the Spirit to those who come to Him. And to come to Jesus is, by the way, to leave the world behind. Because, God, again, God has something better for us. And we must do, some other things. Let's leave the world behind. We can think about Jesus, and as I thought about this, I think, well, there's all other kind of things we can do. But one of the communion hymns we have, and the Pilgrim Hymn, I'm not sure if it's in the Hymns of Grace or not, it's not important, but it's the end of one of the verses, and it reads, "We eat the bread and drink the wine, but think on nobler things." Now think about this. We drive down the highway, we go to the grocery store, Walmart, whatever else, and other things we do. Kath and I had problems along the lawnmower, took it to someone, and he fixed it, do things like that. But you know, as we do that, we can think of nobler things. And the nobler thing we can think about is Jesus Christ the Lord. Just like in the communion service, we eat the bread and we drink the wine, but it represents something far greater than itself, and we think of that. So, listen, brothers and sisters, if we thirst, the answer is Jesus. Now, if you don't remember a thing else I said, remember this. If we thirst, the answer is Jesus. And the Lord help us all to remember this in my prayer for Christ's sake.